Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Back to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya. We have a guest with us today. We're very excited to have Katie Towns, who is the director of the Springfield Greene County Health Department. So welcome, Katie.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah. So we're continuing our conversation this month about COVID, past 5 years now, and just sort of looking at that and what happened during COVID, but more importantly, focused on what has happened since COVID. Right. So you were not the director and in 2020, but tell us about your role now and how you got to that role.
Sure. So it's crazy when you say 5 years.
I know.
Yes, it is. I have a hard time processing that. But in 2020, I was an assistant director at the health department. I had been there for about 5 years. I had come back. I had been there previously in my career and then come back as a part of training for a succession plan to one day be the director. But I had no idea that it would be anytime soon. So we were hearing reports early that year about this strange virus that was circulating, and we were watching the news and just kind of seeing what we could find out from reports from the federal level. And slowly but surely, we started to get more and more information, and that sort of cadence of information got more and more alarming. And so we entered this just kind of like everyone else, unfortunately. And I do think, we'll probably get to that, but preparing for this was somewhat of an enigma because it was a very sudden onset and something that sort of, I think, caught us on our heels a bit. Yeah. So,
So I just want to capture that kind of those probably weeks, maybe before March of 2020. What do people do in your roles? How does it feel when something that you probably knew it was going to impact the world, but we had no idea how it was going to. What does it feel like in your work environment when you're starting to, the reality of the weight of that is starting to creep into all of you?
So I think at the first part of the year, January through I'm going to say early to mid-February, there was weight, but I had started at the health department the first time I worked there during the H1N1 pandemic.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, it was more of an epidemic at that time. And so we were preparing in that we thought this would be an outbreak of some kind and that it would reach lots of parts of the world, but we had no idea of the magnitude because that was our lived experience. That's where we went in our minds to sort of organize, this is what we're going to prepare for. And so, we knew that there were steps in the process of, certain amounts of disease being present in the community that would trigger certain things up the governmental chain that would release assets like vaccination and that sort of thing. But as it got to about mid-February and we started to see other parts of our country being infiltrated by the virus, and specifically Seattle, Washington, watching that situation unfold and how quickly it was just running through facilities like long-term care facilities and then overwhelming hospitals really quickly. We that's when that weight got much heavier and we started to see this in a whole different light. And we started having some conversations to prepare people, but still, we only had this lived experience that was this flu that, you know, went, we dealt with that for about a year and a half during that time, and then things kind of went back to normal. Yeah. So, so we knew we were preparing for more, but we didn't really have access to that lived experience to be able to really feel and figure out how much of that impact was going to be exacerbated to the degree that it was. So, the early part of March, we started, I mean, we pretty much lived in our offices. And so that preparation became a much different thing at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would think that the average citizen doesn't really think about the health department on a normal day and what you do. So let's talk a little bit about, like, on an average, without a, minus a pandemic, an epidemic, what are you doing on a daily basis that impacts the citizens of Springfield and Greene County?
Yeah, that's a great question. And honestly, we don't want people to think about us. You know, it's like we want people to hear our messages and we want people to know that we work with partners. But really, we're supposed to be sort of in the backseat. And we're here. We're a presence. We're accessible when people need us, to your point. But we don't necessarily need to be front and center because we have lots of good you know, healthcare systems and businesses and access to other services in our community that we want to push out front. Okay. So in the background, though, our primary role has always been, since the creation of a health department, to control communicable disease spread. So communicable disease can affect us at levels like a pandemic, or it can affect us like a season that we're in right now, flu season.
Sure.
I'm sure you've heard of schools being, you know, recently my daughter has had friends whose schools were closed for a few days because the level of illness gets to the point that you can't stay. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
And then you need to have a few days to clean and get surfaces sort of cleansed of those viruses. And so we are always in the background tracing disease. So we're like a little detectives kind of running around trying to figure out how where disease is, and then we're trying to prevent it from spreading. And so at the state level, we have a list of 250 different diseases that we're monitoring at any given time. Okay. And we get that information because people often, when they're sick enough, they'll go to the hospital or to a doctor's office and tests are done. Mm-hmm. And those 250 diseases have to be reported to the state. It's a state law.
Okay.
And then that information comes to us. And then we, at the local level, interact with those patients. So just like in COVID, when you were tested, that test result went to the state. It was like a report. Mm-hmm. And then those cases, which is what we call them, will come to us. And then we will be that interaction at a local level. We'll call them up and we'll kind of find out, like, where we'll do an interview to figure out where that person might have contracted the disease that they were diagnosed with. And then sometimes it's food, sometimes it's other people, sometimes it's environmental sources. And then we'll try and figure out ways that we can stop it from spreading to people in their close sphere, and then mitigate any other potential risks with that source. If it was environmental, for example, like water, we'll try and figure out how to prevent people from getting close to that water and getting sick. So it's disease detective work, basically.
Okay. All right. Okay. Until March of 2020 hit.
Yes. Yes.
And now you all who are used to being in the background are front and center. Clay Goddard's name became synonymous with COVID in our area because he was the director at the time. So what did that look like then compared to what your daily had been before that?
Yeah. So as I said, it's really our primary is that communicable disease control. In the background, though, the other things, and I didn't mention this, that we're always doing are things like, I'm sure you've heard of our restaurant inspections. So we do monitor safety within restaurants. Right. We run programs like WIC, Women, Infant, and Children's. So that is a program where families who are young in that area of having babies, raising children, they're able to access support for their food and nutrition, because that's a point in time where you have a lot of needs in terms of nutrition for your kids, and sometimes early in career, so limited resources. And so, and that is not just a it's not a program that is run just for people who don't have, you know, a poverty threshold. There's a lot of people that access that program because it's a very needed part of growing up and having kids and doing life at that point in time. We also we do a lot of work in the space of mental health. I'm sure you've heard some of our the things that we do. We have a campaign running right now around men's mental health. It's called Hey Man, You Good, trying to encourage men to talk to each other, to seek help whenever they need it. Men in our area die of by suicide at a much higher rate than our state and our country, unfortunately. And so we really want to make sure that men know it's okay that mental health issues are just a part of a regular and normal episode of illness. And so we encourage that sort of thing. We work with our healthcare partners to create assessments so that we understand the needs of our population. We also run animal control. So if you've ever heard, had, you know, an issue with a dog running in your neighborhood, we're the people who will show up. So we do quite a few different things in the background. But all of those things were sort of set aside when that time came in March of 2020, where we had our first diagnosed case of COVID, and really had to pivot because we saw where this would become more and more of a situation that would overwhelm our capacity. And so we really had to flip everybody from the jobs that they were doing to being focused on the response. So, yes. Big job.
Big job.
Huge job. So we have come into COVID. So you've kind of explained that atmosphere. And you start having to make decisions of, you know, announcing to the public essentially what our rules are. Who was issuing those rules to you?
So the way that our structure works here in Springfield and Greene County is that the health department, as I mentioned, is a shared entity. So it's the Springfield-Greene County Health Department because it is a city department as well as a county department. So we at the health department report up through city administration and county administration. Therefore, our rules were all set by the governing bodies of both of those organizations. So city council and county commission were setting the rules. What we did was we gathered all the input, the information, the research, all of it that we could find, and we would go in front of them and make recommendations on what we thought was going to be the best path to control disease. The thing I will say is that public health, because you nailed it, because we are sort of this background sort of approach, we in the field are notorious for sort of taking that backseat approach. And that's fine when there is no pandemic or communicable disease that is novel and going to infect. But when that becomes front and center, accessing things like research and development of information that's going to help inform those decisions is often done through federal resources way up at the top. And so we're very disconnected at a local level from access to that in a very timely manner. So a lot of the information that we were receiving, it was information you all were receiving or could receive almost at the same time. So we were processing it and trying to make recommendations based on what we know about certain communicable diseases. Our epidemiologists are trained and know disease very well. So we have access to their expertise. But in a novel situation like that, you had no idea what we were facing. And so we were trying to take our best expertise and expertise from our healthcare systems, marry it with what we were getting from the federal level, and then try to make recommendations for policy.
Well,
so an entity that is so used to being proactive, and you became almost reactive in that time.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not our preferred method.
Yeah,
right.
No. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. So we've come 5 years, like we said, and we all said before we sit down here, it seems amazing that it would be 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about, we made it, many people didn't make it through, so I don't want to discount that. We did lose lives in Springfield mm-hmm. and Greene County, and you know, we recognize that. But we are 5 years past, and what have we learned mm-hmm. since that time? So at what point did you, Clay left that position, mm-hmm. and so when did you take over as director then?
So I became interim director in March of 21.
Okay.
And
okay.
entered the process to pursue becoming the full-time director okay. at that point as
okay.
well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The pandemic didn't scare you away from that?
You know, it's...
I'd be looking for a job in, like, retail or something, right?
The thought was definitely crossing yeah. my mind. Yeah. yeah. I'm yeah. not going to lie. There were lots of moments where I thought, how is this my path? But, you know, you're also in the middle of it, and mm-hmm. you're sort of entrenched True. And bonded with these people then, too, True. That, I mean, there were not secure opportunities that I felt like were just,
right.
you know, accessible at that moment. Yeah, I'm right. a single mom, and I yeah. have two kids at home, and I was like, I don't know, what else do you do?
Right. Yeah.
And then the thought of working for somebody, I'm going to be real honest here, but working for somebody who does not know our department, mm-hmm. To come in the middle of a situation like that
True.
Scared me more, yeah. I think, than yeah. just going ahead and taking it. I know I didn't feel ready. I didn't yeah. feel like this was something that I would have chosen had it been a different time. But mm-hmm. like in those moments, you just sort of, you do things before you're ready
yeah.
sometimes.
Yeah,
you
true.
Know?
And yeah.
So,
yeah. Absolutely. And they trusted you were mm-hmm. the right choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that also helps your confidence level.
Yes.
Of, right, okay, true. Well, they feel like I'm the right person, so I guess maybe I am.
Have to yeah. right. jump in. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 yeah. So what, and we were still, let's remember, March of 21, we're still feeling a lot of the effects mm-hmm. of COVID,
yeah.
and it's still probably around in some regard.
Oh,
in
a lot of
regard. Yes.
Yes.
So
yes.
how do you take, excuse me, your leadership skills mm-hmm. that you have watched Clay mm-hmm. and probably other leaders in the past, mm-hmm. how do you take your skills and then step into these shoes to be the director?
Mm-hmm.
What did you need? What
yeah.
what leadership skills did you need to move us forward?
That's a great question. So, you know, I definitely learned so much from, I'm very indebted to Clay and then his predecessor, Kevin. Mm-hmm. They were truly mentors to me and
yeah.
gave me a lot of insight and just coaching through
yep.
the process of me being an assistant director prior to this and being able to work in that role and see how they made decisions and sort
mm-hmm.
of figure out how that like sort of felt against my own internal direction.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, you know, we thought we were sort of going to come out of this. And March of 21, like I was like, okay, this isn't comfortable, but we've got vaccine now, and I think we're moving in the right direction. And so we can mm-hmm. see this light at the end of the tunnel. And so moved into, you know, that recovery period. And then all of a sudden in June, July of that year, we were hit with probably our hardest round of COVID, mm-hmm. which was, mm-hmm. I remember it. And, you know, it was the Delta variant is what mm-hmm. they called it. But that was my big task of being sort of thrust into the leadership position and trying to figure it out. And I do think at that time it was so much survival mm-hmm. that a lot of it I feel like was dictated. Like I didn't have that chance to sit back and think, is this how I would totally approach this? Or is this,
right.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
just sort of like
yeah.
just this constant drumbeat of
yeah.
like,
yeah.
here's what you're doing. And my calendar, I would go in and I would literally be double and triple booked and like no free space on my calendar all day, every day. And mm. so we were trying to make decisions while you're also trying to give information, because people, mm-hmm. that's just what exactly. people needed yes. was yeah. to talk yeah. to them.
Yeah.
And so I think my leadership growth and development has come retrospectively
yeah.
because I've been able to sort of look back at that time yeah. and figure out, what did I do that was just sort of because I felt like that's what you had to do, versus if I were to do it differently mm-hmm. now, knowing what I know, I think there are lots of things that are sort that pop into mind, and I think, yeah, that's probably not exactly how I would have handled it.
Sure.
But you just do what you have You're to right. do you in leave. These crisis situations. Yeah. Yeah. You're
yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's a great answer though.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a good leader is always one that is reflective on mm-hmm. decisions that have been mm-hmm. that have been made.
Yeah.
So as we were coming out of that, is that how we address that? What have we learned from, are we better prepared, and what have we learned from that experience?
So in some ways I'd like to say we're better prepared, but it's been such a short time, and mm-hmm. I think that a lot of our, we call them after action sort of exercises that we do to look back mm-hmm. and really take different situations that happened during that time, dissect it, and then figure out, like, what would look better? How would this have worked mm-hmm. differently if we would have had different things in place or done it differently? And so we've created reports. So we've pulled groups together. We're having conversations. And two things are sort of pushing against this. One, it's too soon still in, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. Like, people, we only have so much threshold for that tolerance of the, you know, sort of pain that it caused, the disruption mm-hmm. that it caused, mm-hmm. that there is not that appetite, and especially soon after, for, you know, big sort of systems to respond quickly and mm-hmm. say, yes, this didn't work. We need to fix it, and we need to pivot and do that quickly. Mm-hmm. So we're still, as an industry, as government, I think working through how those things will work better. And so there is some, I guess, inefficiency that just bogs things down. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things that I see is that level of interaction between local, state, and federal government, that mm-hmm. we all are independent, and I get that. But in a crisis, there needs to be a way to unify and to work more seamlessly True. Amongst those three entities. Yeah. And that's a very difficult thing because of, you know, turf and all of those beliefs decision-making. And, yes, yeah. yes, yeah. the beliefs, yes. the attitudes, yeah. all of that.
Yeah.
So that part, I think with time, there will be, yeah. you know, we're evolving. We all sure. always evolve.
Right.
And we have some good things here locally that we've done to put our own things in place to make sure. Because, I mean, if you've watched the news at all, there's this bird flu.
Yeah. That's, mm-hmm.
It's yep. right around the corner. And so yeah. we have to learn from that situation and apply our lessons so that
You're right.
hopefully there are different ways to respond mm-hmm. come the next thing. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm certain that the next pandemic, and I pray to God we never mm-hmm. have another one.
Same.
But there will be something that will come around the corner, and you're right, mm-hmm. applying principles that maybe failed
yep.
or that really won, we should do more of that, we should not do that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But you're not, it's not going to come in exactly like COVID did.
No.
And it's not, you know, mm-hmm. it's not.
Yeah.
So you're right. There's probably no manual that you guys have filled out, like, this is how we're going to deal with our next pandemic.
I'd like
Pass
to have
it around.
That. Yeah.
It'd be great.
And we do have these plans. We joke about it in the office because, you know, and I'm a product of the 90s. So paper was yes. like what we used to. Yes. And so we have these plans, and they're printed. And some of them, like when we started the pandemic, they were in these huge binders. And so we pulled out our big plans and we'd sit them on our desk. And I'm not kidding you. I think we looked through those and we used it for maybe 2 days. And yeah. then it was like, you know, no. we got to figure out how to get this done. Like, that's not going to tell us anything. Yeah. So it's good in theory, and it yeah. helps you exercise,
yes.
but it's
yes.
not what you're going to do.
Yeah.
When you
yeah.
You're right.
The road.
Yeah. yeah. And with technology alone,
yes.
the advances in that in 5 years.
Oh my gosh.
You know?
Unbelievable.
I mean, in 5 more years or 10 more years, it's going to be totally different.
Yes.
So can you reflect on it? Of course.
Yep.
But there will be advancements that, you know, that'll be thrown out and that's thrown out.
Yep.
And, you know.
Yep.
Right.
I think we all have to be mindful.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Probably ask that question.
Yeah.
Right?
AI, ChatGPT.
Yes.
What
exactly.
am I to do today?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Please tell me.
How do I handle a pandemic?
Yeah.
I'd be curious to know what their what its answer is. Yeah.
Gosh.
You know, and you're at the mercy, I'll say, of your leadership will not be the same. Like
no,
if a pandemic hit
right.
today, mm-hmm. you're answering to the hierarchy of the county and the hierarchy of the city. Mm-hmm. And come April, that'll all, you know, most
change.
Of that will change.
Mm-hmm.
So it would look a lot different, I would think.
Yes.
And your decisions are entangled with what happens at those levels.
You are spot on.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is in an evolving situation as well, and the leadership has every ability to influence what happens. And so,
for sure,
that will, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think that where we were when the pandemic started, we were extremely fortunate in our community that we have access to and had trusted relationships with both of our governing entities. And so, it's been, that was a big blessing to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you proud of Springfield and how Springfield reacted?
Yeah, I was. And I think, you know, Springfield to me is such an interesting, I grew up in in St. Louis, and I'm originally from the Northeast. So coming here, I came here for college and made these really strong relationships and have kept coming back. It's just this interesting mix, right? We have all of these like sort of where the intersections of beliefs and attitudes in our country, I believe, all intersect in our community.
Uh-huh.
And so navigating that line and trying to figure out how to develop policy, one of the things we said is we were always trying to figure out that place where 50% of us on both sides of an issue were going to be upset because then you're in the middle. And so nobody was ever going to be happy with us. But our job, we knew, was to make hard decisions and to do the best we could to tell that hard information, which was truth as much as we knew, and then let the chips fall. And so I think it was hard in that, you know, there were times where I definitely took vitriol and backlash, but there's a place where you almost are in the middle of that you understand it's not personal. I mean, at moments when you're tired, it gets personal. It feels personal.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, people just needed something to blame.
Yeah.
And so you're that person.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And they want answers. They want communication. They want answers. And it's hard to think that as a layperson that somebody doesn't have the answer. You know, we think someone out there has the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we get that information? And then I'm sure it's, they're just not telling us.
Right.
Or they're just, you know, they're withholding information. And I'm sure that there's a piece of that you don't want to be alarmist. You don't want to overemphasize something or underemphasize something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a, like you said, it's a fine line to navigate, I would think.
Yeah. You're very insightful because it is. It's like you have this information, and if you, even if your inflection is sometimes, you
for
know,
sure.
different in certain ways, and when you were, and we were doing weekly press conferences.
Yes.
And so it was like you had to try and figure out how to set the tone with your voice and all of these things.
Yeah.
But because you could emphasize something that was going to, and sometimes you just can't control that. It comes off the wrong way, or somebody hears it in a way that you didn't intend. And therefore, it's just the human interaction, right?
Yeah,
it's not perfect, and you can't, it's not a controlled outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So
you
just have to go with it.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you said it, and it's hard for leaders. We talk about leadership and real estate a lot on the podcast, but focusing on leadership, it is
people are going to hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they, even if you don't, like you said, the inflection or the emphasis you put on the word pandemic or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be, they're looking for something. And all you can do at the end of the day is realize it's not about you.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. not about you. It's about doing the best you can in the role that you're playing and let the chips fall where they may.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that was one of the things that I was mentioning I would do differently is that I felt such responsibility mm-hmm. all through, you know, that time mm-hmm. of just how much that weight of these are people's lives. It's mm-hmm. their livelihoods. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. the business part You're of right. just understanding and feeling that impact, like, that was mm-hmm. just crushing to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that at the end of the day, though, it's like you learn mm-hmm. as you go through something this painful that mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you don't get to control these outcomes. No, you do right. the best with your best intention.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it is kind of for life to take care of, yeah. you know? So, yeah, you're spot on.
Yeah. We like to ask the people that come on the podcast about a crisis that you've had to go through in your journey. I think we've covered that. Do we need to ask that question?
And I think a lot of our leadership questions we would ask you, and I know I pointed one of those mm-hmm. at you earlier. You've really answered a lot of them in how you've talked about your role there mm-hmm. and having to be having to look back
yeah.
and decide, I wouldn't do that again, or I would lead differently here, I would lead differently there.
Yes.
Can you give us one thing that this whole experience mm-hmm. of being in your role, coupled with COVID, coupled with the responsibility that you had and mm-hmm. have, mm-hmm. what is one thing that you would give to a younger version of you and yeah. say, mm-hmm. you know, Katie, I would advise you to take this little nugget.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I would say one thing that comes to mind is it's like sort of a combination of things, but let things fall apart, let them break,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and realize that in that, breaking always gives new opportunity.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so yeah. I think, mm-hmm. you know, I was so reluctant to let things fall, yeah. and that caused me more pain and probably did not help much mm-hmm. at all
right.
during that process. And so on this other side, I really have this renewed understanding of that is just, I mean, we are not in control.
Right. You're right.
No, you are right.
You know? And no. I mean, growing up and until I do think the pandemic and the pain of the pandemic for me has been something that has been transformative in my mm-hmm. life. So mm-hmm. when people ask, like, I still have people say, oh my gosh, I don't know how you did it. And I feel like it's been such, on the flip side, it was a gift. Like, yeah. it was something mm-hmm. that yeah. I will always take with me.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so I don't want that, you know, pity of sorts, because it right. is something that I would take again in a heartbeat because mm-hmm. of the learning that and development that it gave me. So, yeah, I just think that realization of understanding control has been completely removed.
Yeah.
And
yes.
yeah. I, yeah. you know, I find myself, like, catch myself looking at things and trying to figure out, and then I'm like, oh, and it's just so freeing,
yes.
liberating.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're challenged with a pandemic in your first, you know, whatever, along early in your journey,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you've conquered it,
yeah.
you know? So mm-hmm. what could really, like you said,
throw something at me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can take it on. We were talking before we got started here about females in your role,
mm-hmm.
and you said something interesting. So you're only the third
yes.
female to serve in this role.
Yeah. So in the history of the health department, there have been two female leaders previously, and both of them were not hired through a process. They were I believe that both of them were selected after their husbands were either removed or passed away in the position. And so they inherited the role. and carried out a term. And mm-hmm. so I don't necessarily have a term now, but right. went through a hiring process to be placed in this position.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's fascinating. And how long has the health department been around in Springfield and Greene County?
So we just celebrated 150 years last year.
Wow. Yeah. So. And 150 mm-hmm. years, only the third woman. So mm-hmm. I think that's, I think it's impressive that you are in the role that you're in, and just because of the experience you've had, better positioned to handle what's going to come at you in the future.
Thank you. Yeah. I do feel like that.
Yeah.
So I take it with all in stride that it has been a part of my journey, and mm-hmm. I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Katie. I've learned a ton
today.
Oh
my gosh. Yeah. Learned so much. Yeah. And there's no doubt in my mind that they picked the right person for that role.
Well, thank you both so much. Yeah. I appreciate that and the support. It means a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we'd appreciate it if you would share this episode with anyone who wants to learn more about what goes on at the Greene County. Oh, excuse me. Springfield,
Greene
County. Health Department. It's just a mouthful. It's a lot of words. Yeah. So please share this episode.
Yes. Follow us on all of social media. And we want to thank Gershman Mortgage for recording with us. And we'll catch you guys next time.
See you next time.
Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.